But today, because of the same thing, things happen, things have been happening, and we haven't been responding the right way. And God's cleaning that up. He's just cleaning it up. Turn, please, to Amos 3. Familiar verse in the New King James Version. Guess it's familiar in whatever version you look at. It says, the question asks, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Can two walk together unless they are agreed? That means people walk together because they're in agreement with one another. Now, it doesn't have to be a voluntary agreement. Prisoners have to walk together. They have to agree to walk together. They don't want to, but they don't have a choice. But the question is, can two walk together unless they agree? This scripture is saying that you're walking with me because you're in agreement with me, because if you don't agree, we can't be together, because in order for us to walk together, we have to agree. Hope you got all of that. There are several ways to agree, and all of them are not pleasant. They're not pleasant. My mommy forced agreement with the Mulberry Treaty. But even then, that got to a point where it didn't work. Because if you're willing to take the stripes, and I got to the point where it's one thing if I got busted doing something, but if I got accused of doing something I didn't do, you're not worth me crying. And I didn't care what you did to me, I refused to cry. To the fact when my mother said, oh, you think you're tough? I said, no, just innocent. That's what I said. And every time she said that, I responded the same way. And then I said, I can't do anything about you hitting me, but I don't have to respond to it. And I'm not going to respond. I said, you could beat me to death. I'm not going to respond to it because I didn't do it. She looked at me and walked away. And when she found out that I didn't do it, I wanted to send her to the Mulberry Tree. But I didn't even get an apology. I had to let it go. And I don't think I think I'm still holding on to a pinch. And the reason I can say that is I'm thinking about how my heart feels when I tell that story. So I got to get rid of that pinch. But the point is, there are different ways that you can walk the same way. To get animals to pull together and move in the same direction, they're connected by a device called a yoke. And that yoke, it's a weight. They put it on neck and shoulder area so that all of the cattle, the horses, or people, they have to go in the same direction. They have to. In the Bible, the yoke symbolizes burden or servitude, often representing the weight of sin or oppression. Jesus refers to his yoke in Matthew 11, inviting those that are weary to find rest in him. The yoke can also signify partnership, as in being equally yoked with others in faith. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 6. In the Old Testament, it's used metaphorically to describe the Israelites' bondage in Egypt. The concept of a yoke emphasizes the importance of shared purpose, and mutual support in relationships, even if that support is forced. Now, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about the worldly influence that's penetrated the church. And I've been observing conversations, reading some social media comments, and it lets me know that some folks are not yoked with godly things. Lois Thatcher from Shekinah Glory, she mentioned yoke. When she said it, I was taken to another place. I don't know what she said for the next 10, 15 minutes because I was in a totally different place. And he says, in that place, God told me to tell you something that I'd never thought of. That's not strange. I'm not God. But he said, essentially, we are being bound by something that isn't there. It was there. It used to be there. At some point, it was there. But it's no longer there. And even if it did show up, it shouldn't have any negative effect on the church. Look at Isaiah 10, not sharing a lot of scripture today. Verse 27, King James Version. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. God said he was removing the yoke and its associated burdens, and after it's been removed, it's destroyed because of the work we've been commissioned to do. The yoke was destroyed because of the anointing. We need to understand that we're anointed. Every single believer has an anointing. And that anointing on every single believer has the power to destroy any yoke that's tried to put on you. I looked up the definition of anointing, anointed, anoint, and it talked about something being smeared on you, poured on you like oil, but it also talks about divine appointments. It's anointing. Whatever job you have to do that God gave you, you're anointed to do it. There's an anointing that goes with it. Why? Because you have to overcome some things. You have to walk through some things. So what God calls you, and you say yes, that anointing goes into you permanently. We'll get to that scripture towards the end. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We've been chosen by divine election, and there's an anointing that comes with that. So if the yoke is destroyed, how can bondage occur? Because the yoke is designed to attach you to something else. My arm has a swing, so I'm attached to this mic stand. Whether I want to go this way or not, if it says go that way and I'm tied to it, I have to go that way. But if it's destroyed, it can do what it wants to. I don't have to go. Why? Because that instrument used to bind me has been destroyed. And if it's destroyed, it can no longer affect me. It can't be the reason why I do anything, because it ain't there. I would ask you to say it ain't there, but some of you might have a problem with ain't. When Jesus said, you're probably wondering, well, when were we anointed? What were we called to do? When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, an anointing went along with that. Because you had to be anointed to do it. He knew there were going to be obstacles. When I was running to stay in shape, and when I looked in the mirror, I may start running again. I couldn't do that Monday. Want to see it again? Get real bold. Not Forrest. You got the run part right, though. See, because of the anointing, anything is important. Anything that wants to stop you has already been dealt with. How? The anointing. The anointing. So you can keep going with God's plan. And the question becomes, if that's true, and it is, why are so many believers still struggling? That's a good question. That's a great question. Would you like an answer? You don't know your yoke has been destroyed. You're so busy looking at it, you don't know it's not there. What you're seeing is a figment of your imagination. I saw an episode of Superman, the original Superman. And in this episode, some of Superman's friends were being held captive on some island. And they had a person parading around as a witch doctor, shoe polish on his face and that whole bit. And he held Superman's friends captive. He had them chained in a cell. The chains were made out of paper. He told them, it's a 100-pound chain. You can't pick that up. So they never tried, because they had been drugged and they couldn't resist him, and whatever he said, they believed it. They were in a jail cell. The doors were sticks. They weren't iron bars. But they were held captive by something that didn't exist, because they didn't know. And the reason some of you are bound up is you didn't know that the yoke was destroyed because of the anointing. You didn't know you were anointed. You didn't know. So you think you're sick. You think you're in financial hardship. You think your children are running amok. You think you're not capable of doing the work God called you to do. That type of thinking has been destroyed by your anointing. Yes, the thought's going to come, because it's going to lie to you, just like that witch doctor lied to the people. I can't imagine being held captive by a piece of paper, taped to my wrist. I mean, it was pitiful. They couldn't even raise their hand. Jimmy Olsen came by and said, it's just paper. No, it's not. They're still chains. The anointing has broken the yoke, but you have to know that even though the yoke is broken, your thoughts can tell you you're still in bondage. Your thoughts tell you. You can't do that. You don't have it. That requires a special anointing. You don't have it. Here's the answer, or the question is, when God called you, did you say yes? How many of you said yes when God called you? The anointing to do whatever yes means came with it. Came with it. We're sitting in a room because I was anointed to do a job I was asked to do. That's why we're in this room. You know the story. I knew nothing about construction. Didn't know how to read blueprints. Didn't know construction terminology. But my pastor said, change these classrooms into a banquet hall. And I didn't say I don't know how to do that. Because the pastors, this is my perspective was and is, the pastors that were given to me are pastors after God's heart. So if they ask me to do something, it's not them asking me, it's God's heart asking me to do it. Well, God's heart is not going to ask me to do something that I'm incapable of doing. He's not going to nudge the Son and the Holy Ghost and say, watch what happens when I do this. An anointing came with that responsibility, folks. And I said things that I knew nothing about. I was given strategies that I knew nothing about. Nothing. I had a talk with the contractors, going over the plans for the kitchen right out there. They had to run a waistline and water lines from the front door to the back of the room. They wanted to chop up the floor in a module, in a portable module. And I said to them, you can't do that. And they told me how many years they've been in the construction business. I said, well, I haven't been a Christian that long, but my father knows more than you. And he said, you can't do that because you'll compromise the integrity of the module. I didn't know what I was saying. And I left, and they were upset. They didn't want to go in that crawl space. God said to me, go to the church at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I was like, different stroke. What'd you say, God? So I came at 5 a.m. because the contractors had keys because they had to get an early start. I came back here. They had opened up the floor. And I had a fit. And I knew that that Charlie Maneri over at the building department came in at 6 o'clock. So I stayed there, I said, don't do anything. You can put us off schedule, you don't put you more than that. I called Charlie. He said, Greg, I'll be right over. He walked in, looked at it and said, they can't do that. I said, why not? They compromised the integrity of this module. Portable building modules they sit on a foundation. If you cut it and don't patch it properly, then you have no module. But Charlie asked me, how did I know it was a problem? I said, the Holy Ghost told me. He said, oh, okay. I said, you have to understand, Charlie, we are a Bible-believing church. And whatever I need to know, God will make sure I know. Why? I had an anointing to be a construction engineer because that was my assignment given to me by God's heart. God's heart has given all of you an assignment. You're letting other things and other people tell you you can't do it. You don't know enough. You messed up. Well, my wife and I, we messed up. Mostly me. Okay, we. And when some folks we knew found out that we went and told the pastors, like, you never tell a pastor, now they'll never use you. Never use us. So in order to be used, we have to keep information from the pastors in order to be used of God. Paper chains. We're drugged because we keep focusing on what the obstacles are and not the assignment. With the anointing comes the ability to stand your ground. I knew nothing about building codes, so I bought a code book. Whenever the building department said something, I said, what code are you citing? They said, well, you don't understand. I said, yes, I will. Just tell me the code. They told me the code. I'd go and look it up. And I'd say, that's not what the code says. The code says this. How do you know that? I'm reading the code book. Do you have a code book? Yes. And that's not what the code says. No, but we want to do it like that because we found that it's safer. I said, well, then say that, but don't tell me it's the code if it's not, because I will find out. Why? I was anointed to do it. I was anointed. Before that, when I was asked, I didn't understand the anointing. And I was asked to join the youth department. Well, I was directed by God to join the youth department. I became a host. And it was a strong yoke there because I wasn't supposed to be a host. I was supposed to be in the youth department. And the yoke got destroyed when I joined the youth department. See, that yoke-busting ability comes with your obedience. But again, I want to say this. The anointing destroyed every yoke that's designed to stop you, that's designed to discourage you from spreading the gospel. The yoke wants to attack your witness. It wants the world to see you begging, groveling, unsuccessful, just a mess. Why? You're being held together by paper chains because you didn't understand that when you said, Jesus, come into my heart, an anointing came with that. The anointing came. Power came. We're anointed by God, and Jesus gave us power over all the power of the enemy. That means we're unstoppable when we know who we are. Two words just came up in my thinking. Gang signs. I guess because I was holding my fingers like this. Gang signs. Gang sign. I'm part of God's gang. I don't care who knows it. I wear apparel that says chosen. Because I am. Probably get a cap that says anointed. Yeah, who are designed? We need a cap that says anointed. Where's Mr. Best? We need a cap that says anointed. I'm going to get, comes with this anointed gear. Breaking the yoke. Anointed. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Amplified Bible, very familiar passage. It's who we are. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old, previous, moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. The fresh and new, that yoke of bondage has been destroyed. The fresh and the new has come. You're not led by a yoke anymore. You're led by the Holy Ghost. You don't need to listen. I say this nicely. Erroneous teaching. You don't need to listen to opinions. You have an anointing to understand the gospel. Look at 1 John 2. But as for you, the anointing, this is the Amplified Classic, the sacred appointment, the unction, which you receive from him, abides permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. I didn't have need for anyone to instruct me on how to convert classrooms into a banquet hall. The anointing told me what to do, and I did it. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything that is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, live in, never depart from him, being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. But I like the scripture that says, but as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you receive from him abides permanently in you. Permanently. In that Superman episode, people were connected to each other by these paper chains. They thought they were real chains. But we're not connected to the world anymore. Moments before we became new creatures in Christ, we were yoked to other unbelievers. And whatever the world did, we had to do. We became born again, all those yokes were destroyed. Now we have freedom. But we don't understand that we have freedom. We'll look at a circumstance and think, I still have to believe my way out of it. No, you walk your way out of it. It's already been destroyed. There's nothing there, folks. There's nothing there that can ever stop you because you're anointed by God to do everything he's called you to do. And that anointing broke every yoke designed to stop you. Every yoke. Everything we were divinely appointed to do, we were anointed to do. And the yoke that was designed to keep you connected to whatever it is that's causing you not to follow God's directions has been destroyed. It cannot stop you anymore. You were anointed by the task, and that anointing destroyed, totally obliterated the yoke. As I said earlier, several times, it's become a paper chain. But you need to know that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm anointed. Say, I'm anointed by God to do everything He's called me to do. And you know what? I'm going to start walking in my anointing. See, the reason you're not forgiving is you're captured by a yoke. And you yoke with other people that says, you can forgive, but don't forget. But our example, the one in whose image we were made, says in the scripture, and I will remember their sins no more. And we, his children, made in his image and after his likeness, say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. We need to replace those yoke-building cliches with yoke-destroying truth. You are anointed by God to do everything God said. And you have to stop using the excuse that you can't. Because when we say we can't, it's like walking up to God's face, walking up to Jesus' face and saying, you're a liar. Now, no one can fathom doing that, but yet we do it all of the time. God is jerking the slack out of this church. The reason I say this church is I'm not responsible for the others. But Pastor Ed and I are responsible for what he's doing here, what he wants to do here, what he said he's going to do here. We taught a lesson a couple of years ago, the doors of the church are open. And the question was, what are the people going to see when they come in? That's still a question. And as for us, they're going to see people in whom the love of God is evident. They're going to see us loving one another, forgiving one another, quickly forgiving one another. I'm trying to avoid this. One of the things we need to be mindful of, and again, it came out, you really need to come to Friday Bible study. Great things come out. Great things come out. But we were talking about unforgiveness. My thought just popped out. It'll come back. Because it was so good. It was so good. The devil doesn't want me to say it, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Well, I'm going to move on, and it's going to come back, and I'm going to say it when it comes back. But the enemy doesn't want me to say it. We haven't been rubbed with an oily substance type of anointing. We're anointed because of a divine election. A divine election. When we were talking on Friday, and we were talking about how when you've forgiven someone, you forget, You don't only not forget, but you never even bring it up. You treat the person like it's never happened. Because if you don't forget, it's like they did it today. And what you're going to do, it's coming back, it came back. What you're going to do is treat each other based on what they did, and you're going to use what they did to dictate how you're going to react to them in the future. Jesus knew, he knew that Peter was going to deny him three times. He didn't say, Peter, I was going to ask you to strengthen the brethren, but since you're going to deny me three times, you're not ready, forget it. He didn't do that. He gave Peter an assignment anyway. And Jesus didn't say to the people, be leery of Peter. He's going to flake off for a bit, so watch him. Even more dramatic, he never told the other disciples about Judas. He said, that dirty dog, he's going to kick him out. Don't give him, don't commune with him. Lord, don't. What are we supposed to do? And Jesus said, love him from a distance. No, he didn't say that. When God saw the sin of mankind, he didn't say, I guess I'll just love them from a distance. He wrapped himself in flesh and came and dwelt among us and conducted himself so we could see his glory. We're made in his image and after his likeness. And if we want to be connected to anything, it should be that. It should be that. In my head, I'm sticking my tongue out at the devil because he wanted me to forget that. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So you don't have to hear me clearly. You don't have to fast and pray and snot and cry for this bondage to come get off of you. You simply need to walk in your anointing. And everything just... just dissolves away like an Alka-Seltzer in water. Nothing there after a while. And you keep walking in line with your anointing. Not looking at someone else's anointing, not trying to determine if someone else is anointed, but knowing that you are anointed for a specific job and you wrap yourself in that assignment. And watch what God will do. See, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. All the yokes that have been assigned to me have been destroyed. And I walk freely, unfettered, into all the work that God called me to do. You believe that? Amen. Give the Lord a praise. I tell you these things so that in Christ you'll have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will experience frustrations, stress, all sorts of stuff. You cannot get away from it. You cannot escape it. Stop wasting your time trying to find a route around it. It ain't, it's not there. Well, how do you get there? You walk, it's in your way, you keep walking in your path, and the anointing destroys it. Your attitude is, this is a job for the anointing. And stop trying to do things in your own strength. I never once thought that I had to learn the construction industry. What I thought was God would have to tell me things I need to know. And all I did was what he said. It's all I've ever done. But own your assignment. Own it. Real quick. That just happened. I had time on there. The contractor obviously didn't like, because he had to now repair properly at his expense. I told him, we're not paying a dime. No, I told him, we're not paying a penny more. So he went to Pastor Sarah. He never talked to any parents from the youth department because they realized it doesn't work with me. He went to Pastor Sarah and he said, Greg is taking this job take too long. He said, how do you do it? He calls the building department for everything and it throws me off schedule. Deacon Gerald was my immediate supervisor at that time. He called me into his office. Minister Joseph said that the pastor said for me to stop calling the building department because it's making the job take too long. I said, I can't do that. I need to talk to them. I talked to Minister Joseph. Pastor said, stop calling the building department because you're making the job take too long. I said, I can't do that. I need to speak to the pastors. They don't have all of the information. Why'd you do that? You left it off the hook. God gave me that assignment. And I have to answer to him. So I made an appointment. Speak with the pastors. We met in Pastor Sarah's office. Myself, Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton. And I listened to what the contractor's allegations were. Nobody at the building department says the same thing. No matter who you talk to, you always get a different answer. And I said, that could be what he's used to, but that's not Clarkstown. I've talked to 3 different people and they all told me the same thing and cited the same law. He said, but we don't know what those laws mean. I said, I do. He said, how do you know? I said, I have the code book. He said, you bought a code book? Yes, ma'am. And I told him some things that the Holy Ghost uncovered. And then I said this. I said, pastors, if something were to happen, and it went into litigation because someone got hurt, nobody's asking for Gregory Carr or the contractor. They're going after the president of this corporation, Clinton H. Utterbach, and I thought that I was placed in this position to make sure that doesn't happen. They looked at each other. They nodded. And Pastor Clinton said, you keep doing what God sent you here to do. And Pastor Sarah said, I'll take care of the contractor. Why do I'm telling you this? Because I owned the assignment. I owned it. In owning it, I could not allow something to be done that's inferior. I couldn't allow something to happen that could be detrimental to the ministry, to the people. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. And God knew that about me. That's why he gave me that position. And that, coated by the anointing, we got the job done. The right way. Each of us have right way anointing. We just need to walk in it. That's all. We just need to walk in it, doing what we know is right. Because as it said, in 1 John 2:7, I'll say this and then I'm going to unhook. But as for you, the anointing, the sacred appointment, the unction which you receive from him abides permanently in you. You never run out of the anointing. You never, the anointing power, that the power of the anointing that's in you will never fade away. Never fade away. It abides in you permanently. For your entire life, you're anointed to preach the gospel to every creature. So I'm not the one is not an acceptable response. Or I wasn't led to speak to him. No, we weren't led to speak to anybody. We were instructed to speak to him. I've examined that scripture in every translation I could find, and I didn't see anywhere on it where it said, unless you're not led to do so. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe. I don't see any signs. These signs shall follow them that believe. But I can't get people filled with the Holy Ghost. These signs shall follow them that believe. The problem is not the anointing. How have you received it? Are you willing to step out in it? Because now you know it's there. Turn to someone and say, no more paper chains. As a matter of fact, no more chains, period. Because the anointing is here to break every chain. Now, I was thinking, okay, God, I'm going to share this, and then you're going to move, and your spirit's going to move. And he was like, maybe. But you don't need a touch. You've already been touched. The anointing has been poured out on you. All you need to do is stand to your feet and confess that you're going to operate from now on in the anointing that God gave you on the day you were born again. Because it's just as powerful today as it was whenever the day was that you received Christ. Just as powerful. Stand on your feet. And you, with your mouth, your feelings, your emotions, thank God for his anointing. Commit to operating in the anointing. Go right ahead.